Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dogs are amazing creatures, and we continue to find out the amazing ability that they have that most of us do not. Simo Gadboa is with us. Simo, I hope I got your name right. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Dalhousie University, you did a study, and you trained dogs to sniff out post-traumatic stress. And they do it by smelling a patient's breath?
Yeah, so the idea is basically this. As we know from people that have those dogs that have been trained to help them, people with PTSD, that they seem to know when a panic attack or an anxiety attack is about to happen. But the interesting thing is they seem to know this often before the person even experiences it. So, there's a possibility it would be visual signals like fidgeting and stuff like this. But my lab is specialized in olfaction, canine olfaction. So that's basically how dogs process odors. So we decided basically to see, try to see if they can actually differentiate between people with PTSD that are in a calm state versus when they're not. So in other words, this idea that there would be some volatiles, molecules from their breath that would actually be associated with stress versus not. And long story short, they seem to be able to do it fairly well. Now, as I say this, it's not all dogs, but some can be trained indeed to do it.
And you found two breeds that were especially good at detecting post-traumatic stress before it actually emerged in a behavioral or a physical reaction, right?
Right. So here's the thing. I wouldn't make this about breeds because we had a large number of dogs, initially 25, and we finished with two that could do it reliably over a long period of time. And by reliably, I mean we prefer dogs that are at 90-95% and above accuracy most of the time. It's better than a dog that is mostly at 100%, but sometimes at 60%, right? So for this kind of work, you actually want a dog that is fairly consistent, but maybe not perfect. And a study finished with two dogs that were quite good. Now, it just happens that one of them was a Red Golden. This is actually we call them in the lab Goldens on crack because they don't look at all or behave at all like a regular Golden. They're quite intense. And the other one was a German Shepherd Malinois mix. Also from a working line. So, they're not maybe the best pets, per se, but it's not really about breed at this point. It's more about that some individual dogs in some breeds seem to be able to do this relatively well.
And a lot of people who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, I mean, many of them have served in the military. Many maybe survived a terror attack or have repeatedly seen violent. It could be a car accident, anything. And we know there are a lot of triggers for those people. So if the dog can be trained to smell it before the person is actually in, a crisis, what would the dog then be trained to do? Would the dog just immediately know to offer more comfort or to get the person to sit down or alert the person that it's coming?
So that depends on the training organizations, what they actually train. But often, many of them will go with the natural behavior of the dog. So some dogs will be the type to come comfort you. Others, like one locally here I know, will go and grab the leash and bring the leash to the owner and say, let's go for a walk, right? Basically, the idea of distract me, right? Let's distract the person that's about to have an anxiety attack. So there's different ways to do this. I think it's often based on the match between the dog, their natural responses to this, and the owner and what the owner actually wants. But you're right. I mean, the idea is to try to identify early a anxiety attack or crisis before it gets out of control. It sounds like not much, but really for the people that experience this, it makes a big difference.
Well, and it seems like your research, if dogs can smell that on a person's breath before there's any behavioral cue, any physical cue, just imagine what else they can detect.
Well, right. So for me, that makes sense because my background is with hormones. And so here's the thing is when you get anxious, there are some hormones that are produced. Adrenaline is one. Cortisol is another. And lungs happen to be highly vascularized. So that means that there's a lot of blood vessels in the lungs. So that means that eventually the stuff that is in your veins will actually make it into the lungs. And when you exhale, that will actually be in your breath now. And that's what dogs, as far as we can tell, are capturing, basically, and responding to. So the new funding we have now for another 2 years is going to be specifically to try to identify what those volatiles are, if we can. The chemist that's working with us, actually, Susan Budge, actually thinks that maybe dogs are better than any technology we have so far. But we'll see. I mean, we may be able to identify one or two volatiles, because we know that in any breath, there's like 300-400 volatiles. So are there some that are specific to these kinds of states? Well, talk to us in 2 years. We may know.
All right. We will be giving you a call in 2 years. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. That was fun. Thank you very much.
Dr. Simo Gadbois, he is a teaching fellow in the University of Psychology and Neuroscience at Dalhousie University. That is in Canada. Amazing. Those creatures are amazing. All right. Your Money Matters comes up next. That is following the news from Lauren Lapka from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.